SBP Awards 8th Competitive Project, 3rd in 2025, written by Tom Kleckner, and read by an automated voice. Little or OCK Arkansas, SBP's Board of Directors has awarded its 8th Competitive Project and 3rd in 2025 under FERC Order 1000, a 345 kilovolts upgrade in the Texas Panhandle. A panel of industry experts designated Transource Oklahoma and Southwestern Public Service as the transmission owners for the project, on a 150-mile line from Beckham County, Oklahoma, to Potter County, Texas. Next, Era Energy Transmission Southwest was the only other bidder on the project in what the panel said were two high-quality proposals. Both proposals were from highly qualified, experienced entities with a successful history in the design, build and operation of similar and relevant projects, said Tom Bozeman, chair of the Industry Expert Panel, or IEP. That was apparent in the IEP's scoring. The panel saw less than 3 points of difference between the two proposals, with Neat Southwest bid getting a slightly higher score than the Transource SPS proposal, 1,088.54 to 1,086. However, Transource and SPS submitted a lower cost, or present value requirement, to customers, $248.68 million to $269.53 million. Bozeman said the panel questioned the results but agreed the small difference between the bids was reflective of two highly qualified respondents with very similar proposals. We found the Transource SPS proposal's cost to customers savings of almost $21 million to be a distinguishing package, he said. SPP staff has given the project an estimated $429.73 million price tag and a projected November 2029 in-service date. The Transource SPS bid was the only one to offer a cap on the annual transmission revenue requirement. That also played a part in the IEP's unanimous decision. During questions by the board, the IEP said its requirements did not include information on cost caps and how to deal with them. Director Irene Dimitri, who leads an Order 1000 strategic review task force that is trying to improve the selection process effectiveness and reduce the cycle time, agreed more information and analysis is needed. There's this need to make sure we're getting all the information we need to make an informed decision, she said. We have work to do, especially in thinking about the projects that are coming out of the 2025 ITP. What can we do differently moving forward, so that the information is gathered from the bidders and that guidance is given to whoever is doing the evaluation to deliver the analysis that we need? Dimitri said the task force is weighing the use of outside consultants to augment the IEPs and provide additional expertise to ensure they can handle the volume of projects coming out of the 2025 assessment. We're presuming there will be some big projects coming in, including an expectation of our first competitive 765 kilovolts projects, she said. The members' committee unanimously endorsed the IEP's recommendation with its advisory vote. The Advanced Power Alliance and Basin Electric Power Cooperative abstained. The Beckham Potter project was one of four competitive upgrades that were approved out of the 2024 Integrated Transmission Plan. It is a companion to SBS 765 kilovolt Potter County Crossroads Phantom project, which also came out of the same ITP assessment but does not directly address any 2024 needs by itself. Transource and SPS were both involved in the last two winning bids handed out by the IEP. Transource won the 38-mile Mathewson Redbud project in Oklahoma in May, and SPS was awarded a 20-mile, 115 kilovolts proposal in August. Admin fee reduced in 2026. We're going back to the future as it relates to administrative fees, CFO David Kelly said, unveiling a 2026 to 2027 budget that includes a nearly 5% reduction in the effective administrative fee, or EIF that members and customers pay for the RTO services. The EIF will drop to 45.7 cents slash megawatt hours from 47.9 cents slash megawatt hours effective January 1, 2026, thanks to a net revenue requirement, or NRR, of $216.5 million boosted by the RTO's expansion into the Western Interconnection. The 2025 NRR was budgeted at $204 million. But SBP expects the expansion to add about $16 million of positive NRR in 2026. Kelly said the Western RTO participants will bring in slightly more than 40 terawatt hours of transmission billing units, about a 9.3% increase, when the market goes live April 1, 2026. That will help offset an 8.7% increase in budgeted operating expenses from $273.9 million in 2025 to $297.7 million. The board approved the budget following the MC's unanimous endorsement. The board also approved a $27.6 million capital allocation to invest in artificial intelligence and associated hardware. We are investing in technology to make the organization more efficient and to limit future increases to our administrative fees, Kelly said, both from a staffing headcount perspective and outside services and future technology.
The rate schedules that go into effect January 1st are calculated by the NRR and the billing determinants for each schedule.
What I've seen is the sophistication of our financial planning has increased over the 7 years that I've been with SBP, Director Susan Sertoma said. The complexity of the financials has increased also, but David, his team and all those involved in the budget process have been able to translate the complexity into clear and powerful messages, which provide all stakeholders with a clear understanding of the budget. Capacity Assessment Appeal. Board members approved Golden Spread Electric Cooperative's appeal of a rejected tariff change that would enable transmission customers and host TOs to access load hosting capacity assessment in determining the amount of load the existing system can handle without requiring additional network upgrades.
Golden Spread's Mike Wise brought the same appeal to the Markets and Operations Policy Committee in October when it received only 29.51% approval.
SPP's TO members united to vote against the change, citing concerns over reliability issues with sharing load hosting capacity and creating operational risks. Staff drafted the proposed change to Tariff Attachment Act screening process following a recommendation from the Holistic Integrated Tariff Teams, or HIT 2019 report. It would allow SBP to proactively perform analysis to determine load capacity at each node on the system without incremental investment.
Information gathered from the load hosting capacity assessment would determine whether transmission customers would be required to go through an ACT delivery point network study.
It's my understanding that nobody opposes the tool, necessarily, that it's a point in time where you have potential, available capacity, Evergy's Denise Buffington said. The challenge we had was it should not replace the study, the need for a study, right? The hosting capacity is like a heat map at a point in time, but if you're actually going to use it to connect something to the system, then the study needs to be performed. It's not good enough just to rely on this tool.
This tool, as laid out, does not bypass the transmission owner's right to ask for the study.
It's their prerogative, Wise said. This is not removing that decision. SPP staff said they would continue their work on the tool with the transmission working group. They offered to gather technical feedback, fix the tool, and come back to the board with another recommendation. Members endorsed the successful appeal 21-1, with one abstention. Liberty Utilities voted against the measure. Change to LTCR market. The board approved a proposed tariff change modifying the language to allow netting of flows in the long-term congestion rights, or LTCR allocation, giving more opportunities to all participants to receive the rights. The revision request formalizes a policy approved by the Regional State Committee in February and completes one of the last remaining recommendations from the HIT. We've spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to improve our congestion hedging process. I think this is just another step on that way, SPP CEO Lanny Nichols said. Eligible entities can nominate up to 50% of each path under the change and hold any awarded LTCRs for 5 years. All current awarded LTCRs will remain under the current rules and can be released yearly, if desired. The MC endorsed the proposal 17-4, with two abstentions. Basin Electric, Nebraska Public Power District, Oklahoma Gas and Electric and Omaha Public Power District all opposed the measure, as did their state utility commissions during the RSC meeting. The board approved three other revision requests that received a single dissenting vote between the RSC and MC. RR 655 establishes clear outage submission requirements, including definitions, data standards, timelines and rules for submission, extension and updates. Market participants will be required to provide accurate timely outage and capability information. Transmission providers will review and potentially deny non-compliant submissions.
RR 707 incentivizes on-site fuel storage by applying a unique class average for resources that provide the capability. Newly constructed thermal resources and those that undergo a primary fuel conversion will be applied with a 0% equivalent forced outage factor, or a FOF for the first winter season. Non-NERC registered resources will use class average FOF for the 2022-23 and 2023-24 winter seasons. RR 719 aligns cost allocation for deliverability by allowing network resource interconnection services delivery portion before the consolidated planning process is deployed to also be eligible for base plan funding.
Rue Osborne, Ross honored. Stakeholders celebrated SPP's Bruce Rue and Oklahoma Municipal Power Authority's Dave Osborne, who are both retiring, with several standing ovations. Nickel presented official resolutions to Osborne and Rue, one of SPP's original 14 employees.
Rue announced his retirement in April after 35 years with the RTO.
Osborne is stepping away from the MC but plans to continue participating in the Resource Energy and Adequacy Leadership Team through February 2026.
One of the things that's always impressed me when I came here and got involved with SBP is while we sometimes have different business goals when it came to the organization and what's best for the power pool in general, people kind of came together, found a way to collaborate and reach consensus, Osborne said. And I just always appreciated what takes place at SPP and how we try to figure out a good solution for everybody, not just our system. When I reflect back, a lot of things have changed, but a lot of things have stayed the same, Ruth said. One of those things are meetings like this, where the members are passionately committed to making a difference for SPP and setting the future for SPP. Shortly after I started, SPP celebrated 50 years and a short 15 years from now, it will be 100 years for SPP.
So I do want an invitation to the 100-year anniversary so I can see what difference this organization has made in the next 15 years while I am gone.
Nickel also called out American Electric Power's Richard Ross, who is giving up the market working group's chair after 21 years in the seat. I want to call Ross a super chair because a lot of work was done under his leadership, he said.
I remember what our market working group secretary said about Richard. You have guided the megawatts with a boot, a gavel, a steady hand, sharp insight, and a collaborative, feisty spirit that has left an undeniable mark on this group and on SPP's market evolution.
That's the truth, muttered an SPP staffer in the audience.
Nickel said he wanted to give Ross one of the gold stars that he hands out for work well done, except for one small problem, I've just never been awarded one.
Boston Hepper, right re-elected to board.
Members re-elected independent directors Bronwyn Boston, Ray Hepper and Steve Wright to new three-year terms on the board during the annual meeting of members. Boston, Wright and Hepper were first elected in 2020, 2022 and 2023, respectively. Hepper, the board's chair, said Stuart Solomon has agreed to serve as vice chair effective immediately.
Members also elected four new members and six incumbents to the MC, which acts as a sounding board and provides input to the directors. The four new members and the sectors they represent are Brad Hans, Municipal Energy Agency of Nebraska, and Paul Malberg, Kansas Municipal Energy Agency,
Chris Matos, Google Energy, and Ken Miller, OG&E. The re-elected incumbents are Buddy Hasen, Arkansas Electric Cooperative Corporation, and Jeremy Severson, Basin Electric.
Brett White, Pine Gate Renewables. Blo Lefebvre, Northwestern Energy, and Stacy Berbure, Public Service Company of Oklahoma, and
Patrick Woods, ITC Great Plains. The nominations were brought forward by the Corporate Governance Committee. Each member will serve two-year terms. Competitive project proceeds. His seat at the table not yet warm. OG&S Miller pulled from the consent agenda a working group's recommendation to make no changes to a construction permit for the 345-kilovolt Sooner Wekiwa competitive upgrade. The project cost working group analyzed the project, awarded to Transource Oklahoma in 2020, but determined it couldn't make a ruling on a reported cost increase that exceeded commitments because Transource included a confidential obligation in the proposal. Miller said he had concerns about SPP's competitive process but that his complaint was about not being able to see the cost overruns. We don't know whether they're reasonable and should be recoverable. We can't see that, he said.
I have concerns about the competitive process, but I also have concerns we are signaling to FERC that these cost overruns are reasonable.
SPP assured the board and members that staff will continue to review the project and address any issues.
The project has a November 17th in-service date.
Miller abstained from the vote on the motion, which passed the MC 19-0, with three other abstentions.
The consent agenda, passed in a voice vote, included the Violation Relaxation Limit Analysis Report, CGC's nominations of Miller to the Strategic Planning Committee, and Western Farmers Electric Cooperative's Rodney Palisano and OG&S Brad Cochran to the Human Resources Committee, and RR 706. The tariff change adds the Federal Service Exemption Transfer Point as a qualifying source for candidate LCTRs and auction revenue rights. The agenda also included recommendations to accept new cost estimates for five projects as reasonable, nine out-of-cycle re-evaluations and two withdrawals.